But you took that prophecy and you knew that it would come to pass, and turn in your Bible to Habakkuk 2, because these people that knew these prophecies would come to pass, in the Old Testament, they had prophecies that were prophesied that it took 4,000 years before they were fulfilled. And obviously, a lot of people lived and died and didn't see them fulfilled. And so the Bible says in Hebrews 11 that these people that based their lives on the prophecies of the prophets of God in the Old Testament, that they died in faith, not having received the promise. And so they knew it would happen. It didn't happen in their lifetime, but for instance, they knew the many, many prophecies about the Messiah would all come together like a big puzzle part, one piece here, another there, one there, and it would all come together, and then the Messiah would show up, and he did show up. The sad thing is, the Jewish people didn't recognize him when they had all the prophecies. And so we need the knowledge of God's prophecies, we need wisdom, and we need to wait on God and have the patience. And in Habakkuk chapter 2, notice verse 4, it says, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him." It's talking about a person that's not a believer, a worldly person. It says that his soul is lifted up in pride, not upright. But then it says, "But the just shall live by his faith." When Habakkuk said that, the people of God in Judah, listen to me, they were going through discouraging times. And they were seeing the rise of a great power called Babylon. And Babylon was taking over the world, and it was about ready to steamroll over God's people, Judah, to whom God had made all these wonderful promises in the Word of God. But they were going to be steamrolled by Babylon. And they had a great king, and it was the final king who brought the final revival to Judah, and that king's name was Josiah. And then Babylon would rule over them and run over them and bring them into captivity for 70 years. But what did Habakkuk say? "These people are prideful. The king of Babylon is prideful. The kingdom of Babylon was prideful." But he said, God's people live by faith. We know that God's word will be fulfilled. We know that in the long run, Judah will return. We know in the long run, Judah and Israel will reunite. We know in the long run, the Messiah will come back. We know in the long run, the kingdom of God will come. We know it, and we know it by faith. And that faith is attached not to some horoscope fake prophet that every day bolsters you up with something charismatic, confusion, new thing. No, it's the solid word of God that doesn't change. Some of us going through some tough times, we talked about it. But the just shall live by faith. And so tonight, I want to talk to you about profiting from prophetic promises. Profiting from the prophets in the Word of God. And it's in Habakkuk chapter 2. And I want to say three things about that. Number one, by your watching for it. Look at chapter 2, verse 1, and then the first part of verse 2. In your copy of God's Word. I'll read it, you follow. It says, "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what shall I answer when I am reproved." And the Lord answered me. And the Lord answered me. Amen and amen. And he said, "Write the vision and make it plain upon tables." In other words, Habakkuk wanted to receive as a prophet of God what God said about the problems that his people were going through. And prophecy in the Bible was given to give us encouragement. He talked about also prophecy will reprove you when you look at things wrongly, and it will show you where you're wrong. And prophecy will comfort you when you need to be comforted, when you're living for God and it doesn't seem to be prospering. And the prophet Habakkuk was complaining to God about that. And he said, maybe I need to be reproved, Lord. And God did reprove him. He gave him prophecy that proved his complaining. And when you're complaining, when you're doubting, when you're discouraged, prophecy will definitely reprove you for that. Because the last I checked it out, God is in heaven and he's not biting his fingernails about what's going on down here. God has spoken and he tells us what's going to happen. And the last I checked out in the Word of God, there's a great battle between God and Satan, and the winner is Jesus Christ. And so God is the winner, and he says you and I are to be watching for prophecy. And there's two sides to that. Watching in the way that God would speak to you. Now, God has already spoken in his word, so we don't need any new prophecy to add to it. The last prophet was John, the book of Revelation. He said, if you add to this book or take away, you'll have trouble. You'll have the curses in the book of Revelation added to you. And your part will be taken away from your part in the Lamb's Book of Life, which means you won't find yourself there. Simply that, if you mess around with God's Word. And so it's very serious that we take God at His Word and we watch for it. And when I study prophecy now, I find out I need to read, I need to meditate, I need to study. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A watchman that needeth not to be ashamed, that needeth not to be rightly dividing the word of truth. Right. It's work to teach and preach the scripture. Right. And I have put in blood and sweat and tears studying prophecy. I think about the prophets themselves. I think about Daniel was a prophet. He was what we call a post-exilic prophet. He lived in the exile and beyond the exile to Babylon. And Daniel, the Bible said, he was praying and asking God, you know, when are we going to get out of this captivity? And you know what he had to do? He had to read the books. And he got into reading the book of Jeremiah. And he found out in Jeremiah 25, the captivity was getting ready to end. It was going to go from the parchment of Jeremiah's scripture right to the pavement of fulfillment. And God was going to send the people of Judah back to Jerusalem to rebuild it. And Daniel got that by reading Jeremiah and studying Jeremiah. And I have benefited from reading the prophets, studying the prophets. I've benefited by reading Bible teachers on prophecy and studying those Bible teachers. And I have said to God, God, you show me, and I will simply, I will do what it says in Habakkuk here. Notice what it says in Habakkuk in verse 2. He says, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. Do you know I could never understand the book of Revelation, even though I went to Bible college? You know why I couldn't understand it? I was mistaught about the timing of the rapture. And they read that into Revelation, it confused me, and I could not understand that. Now when I read the Revelation, I understand. You say, why is that important? Because people that are alive during that time, if they don't understand it right, they'll think their faith will be hurt. Right. And they won't be able to overcome. And so you need to understand what the Word of God, and you need to have it made plain to you so that you can understand what the Word of God says. And I think about the Revelation. I began to study that and pray for an understanding. And it says in chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And you know what? I studied that out and I said, shortly come to pass. Now, it's been 2,000 years almost since John wrote those words. It has not been a short time since he wrote that. And then some people say, yeah, but a day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day. So it's been 2,000 years. That's just like 2 days. So it is short. No, but that's not who he wrote to. He didn't write the revelation to himself. He wrote it to us. So one of the men tell me when he said that the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And by the way, these things have to do with Jesus coming back again. He could come back, listen to me, in your lifetime. He could come back in my lifetime. But what does it mean when it says shortly come to pass? If you know, raise your hand, one of the men. All right, Brother Jose.
So when it begins to happen, all the events that are happening in the book of Revelation will happen shortly, as in back to back to back to back.
Right on. He's saying when it begins to happen, it will happen like birth pangs on a mother. She may wait and wait and wait and wait and wait, and all of a sudden the water breaks and boom, 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 you're there. And I've had that 6 times. I haven't had it. My wife has, but I've been through it with her. That's what it means. And I don't know if I'll be alive at that time, but I know that I am to be watching for the events that are going to happen one after the other and lead up to the coming of Jesus Christ. The second coming of Jesus Christ is not in any moment sightless event. That is a lie.
Yep.
It is preceded by signs. It is preceded by scriptural events that help you to do what? Watch. And that's my first point. Watch. Watch. And if you don't know the landmarks that are leading up to it, you know, just like when you're on a trip and you're going somewhere, people give you certain landmarks. They say it's right by this, right by that. And you see, oh, I'm getting closer, I'm getting closer, I'm getting closer. That's how you know. Now, I don't know when Jesus is going to come back. But I tell you what, I'm living for that day. And I don't know, I like what Jonathan Cahn said about Israel and the fact that every 50 years God is dealing with Israel through Jubilee. How many have ever read any Jonathan Cahn stuff? I encourage you to read that. It's got some great insights. And he goes back to the 1800s. And how God began to work with Israel, and Mark Twain saw Israel, and how God used what Mark Twain said to begin the revival of modern-day Israel. By the way, modern-day Israel is not some Zionistic concoction of the Rothschilds. God can even use evil people to get his work done. It's God.
Right.
And he prophesied. It's God's timepiece.
Right.
And those are God's people. And you don't speak against Israel if you're smart. That Iranian president that went to speak against Israel, and he died very suddenly in a plane crash recently. He didn't bless Israel. His name was Abraham, and he is a son of Abraham, but he didn't bless the promised child of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. You better learn that one. But I'm just saying to you, Jonathan Cahn talks about 50 years and measuring every 50 years some significant event happens in a jubilee that blesses Israel and prepares them for the second coming. And then he goes ahead from the 1800s to 1917. And you know what happened in 1917? Israel had been under the Ottoman Muslim Empire for 400 years. 1817, 17, 16, 15. From that time until a born-again Christian named General Allenby from Great Britain was fighting the Ottoman Turks in the Promised Land, and he was given the opportunity to conquer them and to march into Israel. And you know what? He had a white horse, and he got off his horse, And he walked the horse into Jerusalem in humility, acknowledging that God had used him to get Israel. And then the British Empire, under Lord Balfour, had a declaration that would be a homeland for the Jews. That the Jews, who'd been scattered for 1900 years, would return back to their homeland. And that happened in 1917, 50 years after the other Jubilee. And then add 50 years onto that, and you come up to the year 1967. That's the year I got saved. And I've been watching for these things to come to pass. I've been watching for these events that when they happen, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and it'll happen one after the other for all these years since I got saved. I got saved in 1967, but that was a year of Jubilee for Israel. One of the men know the significant event. If Allenby was in 1917 conquering from the Muslims Jerusalem, what happened in 1967 that was a significant event? You got it too. All right. Go ahead, Brother Matt.
The Six-Day War?
Yeah, it was the Six-Day War, but what happened as a result of that Six-Day War?
They were recognized as a nation?
No, that happened in another time. But we'll give you the chance.
I was going to say Six-Day War.
Brother Bob.
Control of the Holy City and the Temple Mount.
Wow. They captured the old city of Jerusalem and the Temple Mount, where the temple was that must be rebuilt on the mount before Jesus returns. If you believe prophecy, and I do. You notice something here? These things take time. That was 1967. I got saved as a result, in part, I got saved because I saw that prophecy being fulfilled in my lifetime. But then fast forward 50 years later, something in your lifetime. What is it? What happened? Another big significant event. You know what it is? Donald J. Trump, president. Cyrus Figure, the first president to not only recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, because it's always been Tel Aviv, to not make the Muslims upset. But Donald J. Trump said, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And to prove it, we're going to put our money where our mouth is, and we're going to build the U.S. embassy there. And he did it. With only 1 month left in the year of the Jubilee, 2017, 50 years after 1967, which had been 50 years after 1917, which had been 50 years after the one in the 1800s. And I'm just saying to you that prophecy is something. If you look back at Habakkuk now, look with me at Habakkuk. He says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and watch to see. First of all, to understand prophecy and then to watch for it to be fulfilled. And I'm thinking to myself, what if we have to wait another 50 years, and what significant event will that be? And I figured it out. That's 2067, and I will be 117 years old. And then if that's the beginning of the 70th week, then put another 4 years or 5 years on that till the second coming. We don't know the day or the hour. I'd have to live to be about 122 years. I follow people that are old, and there's a lady in France that died a while back at 122 years of age. Now, my daughter Mindy's here tonight, and she's prays for me that I'll be here at the second coming. At least she told me that once. Will it come before the next Jubilee? Could be. I don't know. I don't know. But I do know this. God wants us to watch. And you can't watch if you don't know the Word. You can't watch if you don't understand the revelation.
Right.
God wants us to watch. Are you watching? And then I told the Lord, you know, I'm a human being, Lord. Are there prophecies before the 70th week that are mentioned in Revelation that must come to pass? And I studied and read books and other Bible teachers. And I believe God gave me a real clear understanding that there are two key wars before the 70th week starts. And one war is a war involving Israel's neighbors that surround them and that are right on top of them. And those neighbors are described in Psalm 83. And then I saw a prophecy in Jeremiah 49, 34 through 39 that talked about Elam, which is where Iran has its present day nuclear sites and is preparing to launch nuclear missiles on Israel. And so I saw that Israel must attack those nuclear sites along with some other coalition, and it will cause a nuclear disaster that will set Iran back and set their regime back. And I saw that has to happen. And then after all that happens, Israel will expand its territory, and then other Islamic people, like people in Turkey and Russia and other people, will attack Israel because of the great wealth that God has given Israel. And that's in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And that condition does not yet exist for that prophecy, because they have walls all over. Those walls will be gone. Israel will be dwelling in the middle of the land, not where they are now, in the middle of the land. And so I saw all those prophecies have to be fulfilled. And I've been watching for those prophecies. And then a significant date happened recently, where those prophecies began to go off the parchment of the Word of God onto the pavement of fulfillment. And I preached, I believe it was 9 messages. You say, why did you preach those messages to the church? Because I'm watching. I'm watching for the fulfillment of prophecy. It may take, I think I started preaching on these things, he said, around 2010. It's now 2024. So it's been a long time. But now, I like what Bill Salas said. He said, since this one event occurred, these prophecies, Psalm 83, Jeremiah 49, Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The genie is out of the bottle. And it's not, you know, Israel is still in a state of war with Hamas. I believe that Zephaniah 2, 1 through 4, and I just read it again, is being fulfilled over this time. But I wonder, what was the prophetic event that let the genie out of the bottle? What was the prophetic event? Does anybody know that? I preach on it. You know it. You know it. You know it. Praise God. More of you ought to know it so you can watch. It's exciting to watch.
The attack by Hamas upon Israel on October 7, 2023.
That's exactly right. That's what let the genie out of the bottle and started this state of war. And you have to understand that Iran has people in Hamas. They run Hamas. They fund Hamas. They're behind Hamas. And they're using them as proxies. Iran runs Hezbollah in the north, Hamas in the south and in the west, Hezbollah in the north. And Iran has taken over Syria pretty much in the north and in the more to the east. And so you see that these things, right now, the genie's out of the bottle, and Israel is going to no doubt go from Hamas to then get in a war with Hezbollah, And it is going to lead to all these prophecies being fulfilled. Isaiah 17, 1 through 9, Jeremiah 49, and Psalm 83. And I believe it's already out of the bottle. The genie's out of the bottle. And so I am watching. And you say, what will that do? It will provide you an opportunity to witness. We'll talk about that later. But I want to say, I appreciated Bobby's message, 4th of July. How many were here for that? Amen. Bobby preached on 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I prayed for God's wisdom, and I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but I see parallels between 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15 through 25, and a timeline of 2015, 2016, 2017, right through 2025 that corresponds to what's happening. And I want to say that in 2015 of 2 Chronicles, I'll read the words. Here's what it says. See if you see the parallels. It says, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. And what was that? A prophet of God spoke to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, and Judah was being attacked, get this, by Ammon, Moab, and Edom, three great nations. He was outnumbered and outgunned. But God said through the prophet to Jehoshaphat, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, something happened in 2016 that brought to light the great warfare over America that I believe is a threefold enemy like Moab, Edom, and Ammon, and it's the deep state, the shadow government, and the globalist cabal that runs it all and funds it all. And when you realize the extent of those three enemies, you realize that we're way outnumbered, that there's no way the American citizen can get free of this great captivity. They rig elections, they pay for it, they corrupt politicians. It's just a mess. But what event, I asked one of the men, what event in 2015 began to bring to light this great enemy that the United States had, that called it out, that showed it for what it was, that brought it out? Kyle, yell it out. Donald J. Trump came down the escalator in New York City with his wife and declared that he was running for the presidency of the United States. And boy, it was not one of theirs. Like one guy said, they got a big club and you ain't in it. Donald Trump was a billionaire, but he wasn't in that club. And I'm not saying Donald Trump should be a Sunday school teacher in this church. He couldn't be. But he could be the president of the United States.
Right.
He could be a Cyrus figure that could go to war like Jehu did against the house of Ahab. God chooses who he will to get done what he wants to get done. He chose a Jehu. He chose a Cyrus. And I believe that this is an encouragement in 2015 to God's people. Be not afraid nor dismayed, just like Jehoshaphat. Don't be afraid by reason of this great multitude. Why? For the battle is not yours but God's. That's why I say to people, don't take up arms and start fighting, even though that's our constitutional right. Don't get me wrong. It is. But it wouldn't be a wise thing to do right now. Because the battle is God's. And we need to have spiritual weapons right now. And we need to ask God to give us grace to get right and to do what he wants us to do. And so this, don't be afraid. Then verse 16 of 2 Chronicles says, the prophet says, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up against the cliff of Ziz. So you go down against them in 2016. One of the men tell me what happened in 2016 where It was the beginning of a great battle against this threefold enemy. Well, I think you know what it was. What was it, Jose?
Donald J. Trump became president.
Donald J. Trump ran against Hillary and became president. By the way, there was no way he was going to win. Did you ever wonder why Hillary, who knows politics really good, she's a wise old witch, she didn't even campaign in Ohio. She didn't go to Michigan. She didn't go to those. Why? Because the fix was in. It was already related to her. That's why Jill Stein, who was her surrogate and her proxy, asked for recount. She was part of the Green Party. She was doing it for Hillary. What, Hillary couldn't figure it out. What happened? How did he beat the fraud? I'll tell you how he beat the fraud. God. And he says, tomorrow go ye down against them. And Donald Trump did. And he won. And he shocked the deep state. It shocked Hillary. And that began a big war. And you know what happened in 2017. Boy, did they start fighting back. You say, what happened? Oh, you colluded with Russia. We're going to impeach you. And they tried to impeach him. They did it in the House, but the Senate voted it down. You know what? It's like Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. God just keeps protecting that man. Not a perfect man, but he's God's man. 2017, that happened. And then when they weren't satisfied with that, so they got Zelensky, and I heard Zelensky's wife just bought a car that cost, I think it was $4 million for a car. Zelensky, your taxpayers at work, your money. Trump calls Zelensky to, you know, congratulate him on he won the election, reaching out to a world leader, you know. And they said, oh, that phone call proves that you're corrupt, and they tried to impeach him again. They passed it in the House, impeached him, and they voted it down in the Senate. That was the same year that the devil hit me and knocked me out of the pulpit for 9 months, 2017. And what does the scripture say here in 2 Chronicles 20:17? It says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And they weren't able to convict Donald Trump. And God brought us through in this church. And we've been able to go forward. Then 2020, what happened? Well, the deep state, the shadow government, they launched COVID, Certification of Vaccination ID. Make no mistake about it, that quote unquote vaccination is not even a vaccination. It's been proven scientifically and even declared it's not a vaccination. But what it is it changes the DNA of people. And it helps them to trace people through what they put in it and kill people over time and cause death rates to go up. And by the way, in blue states, they gave placebos without vaccinations, more of them than in red states, because they wanted to kill more red state people. And so they launched that. And what did they do? They had draconian lockdowns so that people couldn't come to the polls and vote. And they had all these mail-in ballots, and they harvested ballots, and they hooked the machine up, which could be, it's been proven in court that those machines can be rigged with a pen. With a pen. They did it in court. And they stole the election. And put their man in there. But wait a minute, God let that happen. And what does it say in 2020, in 2 Chronicles 20:20? It says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Do you know what? When you're going through hard times, You need to get in this Bible right here. You need to do that. And you need to wait on God and watch and say, Lord, give me verses. Give me promises. Give me things that I can lay hold of in my life. And then believe His prophets. Believe His Word of God. Believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And even when that election was stolen, even when we went through all that we went through in 2020, thank God our church never shut its doors. But even when we did that, I called for prayer and fasting. Some of the men, some of the people came. How many of you came to those meetings? We had meetings after the election, prayer and fasting. And we prayed. I believe it was on a Monday night. And we did a number of Monday nights. Do you remember that? And you remember after we kept doing it and doing it, and I remember Bobby would come to me, this could happen, and that could happen, and that could happen. You know, Bobby had a number of insights into what could happen, but none of those things happened for good. And Bobby, you remember what I said to you. I said, it's above my pay grade how it's going to be done, but I believe God's word, and I believe God will do it. I said, I'm claiming it like Jesus said. If you believe and don't doubt, you'll cast mountains into the sea. You'll have mountain-moving faith. And by the way, I have not doubted it to this day. Now, I've had people try to get me to figure the timeline out, like when it would happen. And I've even suckered for that. And that was stupid. Don't try to get the when and the how. Get the who. It's above your pay grade. But it says there, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe His prophets, so shall ye prosper. God gives us promises in this book right here so that we can believe them and we can stand up. When the world doesn't have any hope, and then I noticed here that in 2022 of 2 Chronicles through 2024, and if you relate that to the timeline, it would be 2022 through this year, 2024. And there it says, first of all, in 2022, and when they began to sing and to praise the praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Now, you remember what happened. They tried to get the people of God, and in 2021, January, you remember, they put FBI agents in a big crowd of Trump supporters and got them to lead them into the Capitol in order to put them in jail, in order to falsely accuse them of insurrection, in order to defeat them. And as Bobby preached, we had FBI agents coming to our houses during that time. But you know what? God says, you tried to ambush the patriots, right? But God can ambush people. God is shrewder than the shrewd. And what event happened in 2022 that removed that crazy, wicked committee that was telling lies on TV with Adam Schiff and the Republican lady Liz Cheney and all these people that just kept telling lies and forging lies about January 2021? What happened that God began to set a trap, Bobby? That's exactly right. The midterm elections, and the Republicans took the House, and it began to set a trap, and that trap is starting to spring right now. And so it says there in verse 23, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Remember, the prophet said, you won't need to fight in this battle. Why? Because they're going to tear one another down. Remember, Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand? I mean, there are different people. Gretchen Whitmer. I almost said Whitmer. Gavin Newsom, who's totally destroyed California, turned it into a communist state. Gavin Newsom, that if you send your kids to public school in California, they can do a sex change operation without parental consent, and they can take your kids away from you. What a wicked, wicked individual. And because he looks the part, they say he's somebody we could put up there. But they've got to get Kamala in to keep the money. $90 billion or whatever it is. I don't know. Million, billion? I don't know. What's a billion or a million? But I'm just saying, they lose all that money if Kamala isn't there. So it could be Kamala and Newsom. But I'm just saying, they're fighting each other. Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. It kind of reminds me of 1968, the convention in Chicago, when the Democrat, I call it the demon rat, fight each other. I'm just saying that it says in verse 24 of 2 Chronicles 20, and when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were all dead bodies fallen to the earth. None escaped. None escaped. Have you noticed that everything they seem to do against Donald Trump, they can't. All the lawfare cases are falling apart now since the Supreme Court made that decision about presidential immunity. It's falling apart in Florida. It's falling apart in New York. They can't sentence them in New York. They put it off again. It's not going to happen. You say, why? Do you know what the name Trump means? To get the better of, in a public way. You say, are you preaching Donald Trump? Absolutely not. Donald Trump is just an instrument that God uses. I'm preaching the Word of God. I'm preaching prayer to the God of the Word. The Bible says we're to pray that we might live peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. And that's why I believe that God's going to get us the blessing that we need. And in verse 25, it says, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found them among them in abundance, both riches with dead bodies and precious jewels, more than they could carry. 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Do you realize how much the globalists and the corrupt politicians that are in the deep state and the corrupt bureaucracy, do you realize how much they're raping the people of America? We went from energy dominance under Trump, where the gas was 180, to where it's now 365 or wherever it is. I'm just saying, they're taking it away. You can't drill on your soil and take your own oil because they want it. And so, when these people were defeated, God's people got that great wealth from them. You know what? I believe that God is going to give us answer to prayer, give us that opportunity. You know what? Our theme for this year is go through God's open door in 2024. Do you know what it is for the business year starting in September 2025? Our theme is going to be thrive, don't just survive in 2025. Our country's been surviving, just surviving. It can't take another demon rat, globalist puppet. But God hears our prayers, I believe. And God is looking at us so that we can thrive, not just survive in 2025. So I'm saying profit from the prophetic promises by watching for them. And to watch for them, you got to understand and have a mind of wisdom. And secondly, by your working for it. And I'll be brief. It says in Habakkuk 2:2b, that ye may run with that readeth it. That ye may run that readeth it. You know what that means? If you understand these prophecies, it should encourage you to run the buses. It should encourage you to run out, to volunteer, to do God's work. Because God is giving you this opportunity. And you don't know how long it's going to last, so you and I should work. Somebody has said we're to be working, watching, and waiting. And so, you know, some churches, they're really good at working. And that's a key thing. Other churches, they're just into watching. They're just kind of waiting for Jesus to come back. They're standing up, gazing, waiting for him to come back. But some churches are working and watching. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants you to get involved, to play your part in the Great Commission, getting people saved and baptized and going out there. He wants you working. And you know what? I am so busy working, I don't have time to get in trouble. David, when he stopped working, I'm not talking about this David, King David, when he stopped working, he stopped fighting. He looked out and he was in his 50s and he got involved in adultery and messed up. Don't be pulled away from the bus ministry. Amen. Don't be pulled away from church. Amen. Don't be pulled away from soul winning. Don't be pulled away from giving tithes and offerings. Don't be pulled away from giving to missions and doing your part. Listen, you don't be pulled away from witnessing for Christ. Look for the opportunities. Be working for it. Be watching for it and be working for it. And God will bless you. And thirdly, be waiting for it. Notice what it says in verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. You know, I've talked about waiting for this prophecy of Psalm 83. And remember, I preached on it back in October 7th. After that, I preached 9 messages. Do you know what happened? A Jewish lady that was a friend of my son in college and became a friend of our family, this Jewish lady now in the entertainment business, and her husband is into international entertainment, Nickelodeon and all these things, she heard the messages and she got them to her family, and they began to circulate in the Israeli army, the messages that I preached. You say, why? Because we're watching, we're working, and we're waiting for God to fulfill these prophecies. And he's opening doors through that. And in July, this lady told me she's bringing her family to this church. She's not saved, Jewish background. Her family, on the husband's side, Roman Catholic, Hollywood industry. But she said, I'm coming to your church July the 23rd. Pray for her. Pray for her. Pray for her family. I mean, we are waiting, and then we are watching, and we're using it as an opportunity to work, to witness for Jesus Christ. And the word of God is getting out there, and what an opportunity is. He says, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Some of you, God has shown you things, and now you're going through discouragements. And because of those discouragements, you're getting your eyes off of God. You're getting your eyes off of the word of God. And that's what the devil wants. Remember, Joseph was a prophet, and Joseph had dreams about his brethren bowing down to him, and then they threw him in a pit, and then he went into Egypt, and he got thrown into jail in Egypt, and it was one thing after the other. But you know what? The Bible says Joseph never forgot his dreams. The Bible says, hope to the end for the grace that will be brought to you when Christ comes back. That's the book of Jude. I've been saved 1967. I'm still excited about Jesus coming back. I'm still excited about the Word of God. My mother's here. My grandmother led me to the Lord. My grandmother told me about these things. She's now in heaven. And Graham, I'm still doing it. She was a Baptist secretary just for many years. I'll tell you what, I'm excited. We can profit from the prophetic word of God, but we need to be watching. We need to be working while we're watching, not just standing there hypnotized. And then we need to be waiting and be ready to seize the opportunities that God gives us. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Are you